The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Media Mash,
a roundtable of Cowboys insiders
dropping wisdom
and offering sizzling takes
on the current state of your Dallas Cowboys. Now, your host, Newey Scruggs.
Media Mash, here we go. It's got Clarence Hill on it today, the Fort Worth Star Telegram. We got Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, John Machota of The Athletic. I'm merely Newey Scruggs. So start the conversation with you, Nick Eatman.
What's up?
James Washington.
Yep.
Give me a date, according to just Nick Eatman, not your opinion. When does he play? When does he suit up in a game?
Oh, this is a tough one for me because...
Close to your heart.
It's close to my heart. Just definitely with the family at the house here. He's from the same hometown as my wife, so we get this question a lot. Like, when's he going to play?
I was joking. I didn't even know this.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it really is. Like,
wow.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, and so if I say anything negative about James Washington, which there's no reason to really, I hear from that.
Okay.
The house. So I don't know if he's going to play. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to play. I think this is a factor with OBJ. If how many veteran receivers that aren't going to start, that aren't going to play special teams, can you really have on your roster? And I just don't know. I can't give you a good answer.
Mr. Negativity?
Wow.
I don't know when he's going to play. I mean,
I'm with Nick because you still have to make a roster move. If you say, it's if. It ain't done deal, and of course, my girl Josina Anderson says the winds are howling toward New York, which is crazy in itself for Odell Beckham.
Which part of New York?
Huh?
Which part of New York?
The Giants.
Western New York.
I think she was talking about the Giants. But
Von Miller said that if they get him in the building, he doesn't think he's going to leave.
Well, that's part of it. You know, Cowboys get last dibs, and of course, Jerry Jones said he likes their position of getting last dibs because he'll know what the landscape is pretty much, but. I'm with Nick. You know, I think that one reason to start his window, one reason to get him healthy, is so if you do sign Odell Beckham, you can cut him. You can't cut an injured player.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know how much of an impact he would make even if he play when he does play. I mean, coming off the foot injury, that's not something that you're just going to come back from and go right back to being 100% what you were before. And even in training camp, I mean – yeah, I thought he was shaping up to be your number three receiver, but I don't think he's a guy that, like, do you think he comes in and he's better than Noah Brown?
No, because.
And that's a great point. Because the point is, it's not like they're getting Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
It's not like they open the 21-day window and they're going to get an Odell Beckham type impact. You're hoping to get a Noah Brown type impact, and I don't know you're going to get that.
The biggest injury to me is not the foot injury, and I don't know what it was. Maybe it was another foot injury. He was in a walking boot for a while. We saw they're all summer. So here's a new player that comes in and hasn't done really much of anything in the offseason. Then he gets to camp one day in practice. Then he gets hurt. So he doesn't have that timing and really understanding of the offense that you would want. This isn't like Tyron Smith that you're like, well, he's been here forever. Just get back in here and go. So I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you on that. I personally hope he comes in and plays well.
So
plays better than Jalen Tolbert.
All right, let me throw this out here. John answered it yesterday on the Media Mash with Kevin Gray, John, and Patrick Walker. All were in on Odell Beckham Jr. They were like, yes, let's do it. So, Nick, Clarence, are you in on Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah. I mean, I said this, I think, on the radio this morning, 105.3 The Fan. I don't play poker a lot, but, you know, you played and you push your chips in, you're pot committed. You're like, let's just, yes. I mean, I'm gonna see the hand. Let's do this. I'm invested. I want to see it happen. I don't know what it means for everything else, and I don't know what his knee looks like, and I don't know what it looks like for signing these other players, you know. I mean, does this mean you don't sign Tony Pollard next year? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where they're going to get the money for all this, but.
Franchise Tony.
Is that a good idea?
Yes.
Okay, that was quick. What's the number? What's the franchise tag number?
I think it's 12. I think Beam and I talked about it. It's like 12. Mm-hmm. 12 on a running back.
Is that high? I mean,
Clarence?
There's no downside to Odell Beckham. You're trying to win the Super Bowl, right? You're trying to win now. We talked to Dak in the locker room today, talking about how, you know, he's been on other good teams before, but never a team that that's this talented on both sides of the ball. You know, we talk about 2016, but the defense wasn't what it was. Mm-hmm. You know, this, and then you look at the landscape across the league, and the window is open now.
I agree.
You know, and,
I agree
and
with
Odell,
that.
Odell puts you over the top, and we'll let. And I don't think that. To me, it's going to be about the contract. It's a multi-year deal, but from their understanding, you know, he's a guy you want in the locker room, not just this year for next year. You know, obviously you have to make the money work, but I don't see a problem with a 2 or 3 year deal for Odell Beckham. That if he understands that you're not going to get Tyreek Hill money, even though you have a Tyreek Hill name and platform, and you can build off your name and your attention off the field, but you're not going to get that on the field. You're coming off two ACLs, and you're looking for a long term. He's looking for a long term home. So those are the things that are there.
Yeah.
So it says on Over the Cap, it said a running back for this year franchise was $9.5 million.
Right.
So it'll go up a little bit.
The projection was 12.6.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Projection is 12.6.
My thing on the Odell deal was the just what if you get into a game late in the season in the playoffs and I'm not saying it's a major injury, but you lose CD for a second half of a game, or Michael Gallup, or something. I mean, this receiving core looks real thin if you lose one of those guys, and now all of a sudden, then where are you going from there?
Yeah.
You know, so with an Odell Beckham, not only do I think it can help put you over the top, but it also provides you insurance at going into the season. Wide receiver was arguably their weakest position, and I don't think it's changed tremendously since then. But I will say that I do think Michael Gallup and CD Lamb are coming off the best game that they've played together. This season, and that's positive, but, you know, injuries happen, so.
Okay. All right. Look, overwhelming on the past two Media Mash shows, guys want Odell Beckham Jr., so there you go. Hope it happens for you.
I don't think that anybody.
Do you not? Are you not?
I'm just a host, man.
No. You got an opinion. You had an opinion. You didn't like T.O.
What? And that's what he compares this to.
You didn't like T.O. Let's talk about it. Don't hide your hands. Don't throw a rocket out your hands.
The problem with the player.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, the player.
Which player are we talking about?
Owens is always going to be the player.
Okay, let's talk about it. What's the problem with Odell?
The problem with the player was you knew how it was going to end. It always ended bad whenever the player came to town. Okay, we all knew that. You all going to like it for a minute. This is going to be wrong. Just like when I worked in L.A. and I told people, you don't want Dennis Rodman. Oh, you don't want Dennis Rodman. Shaq wants Rodman. I said, it's not going to end good, guys. Didn't end good. My biggest concern with Odell Beckham Jr. is the money. You've got dudes you've got to pay around here. We've already mentioned Tony Pollard. You're going to have Anthony Brown who's coming up. You're going to have Diggs who's got to get paid. Anthony Brown.
Stop it.
You're
man.
Starting
stop,
cornerback.
Stop. We're not going to not get Odell Beckham because we're worried about Anthony Brown next year. Stop it. You sound like Shady McCoy right now, okay?
don't
come with
first
bullshit.
First off, I don't entertain watching any of that stuff, so I don't know what he
don't
said.
Don't come with
I
no just, BS you know, arguments. You're not going to not get Odell Beckham because you're worried about paying Anthony Brown. That's a...
I have mentioned names of free agents.
I know, but you brought up Anthony Brown. We're not going to stop not getting Odell Beckham for Anthony Brown. Come on.
You can't bring up T.O. and Dennis Rodman. That's
Who else you got to play next year?
You also said it always ends poorly. I mean,
that was with the player. Okay. The player. No, cool. I talked about why I didn't like the player.
Okay, but Beckham is not.
Beckham.
The Giants want him back.
No, he mentioned T.O., so I went to the whole me and my T.O. thing. Now, my thing on Beckham, I'm just telling you, my concern is the multi-year contract. How much money do you want? That's it. I don't know what the money is yet.
So now you're Stephen Jones, you cowboy?
Yeah.
What did you just call him?
Yeah.
Seriously, I think that's a big concern. The money is clearly, it's always going to be part of it with the Cowboys. Okay. And so the fact if they do the deal, it must be amenable to them.
I'm involved in a financial accounting class right now. So I'm looking at these numbers.
What I'm asking you, because we all know the Cowboys are going to do the deal if it hurts them. That's how they've been operating the free agency. We can accept the fact that they're going to do a deal they think is financially good for them. So the question is, if you get the finances right, do you want him on the team? Does he help you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, worried about the medical, though.
That's a part. Well, I don't think this is an organization that's going to sign a deal with a guy we're iffy on. This isn't the Rangers getting Prince Fielder where ain't nobody checked to see if he was hurt.
I saw an interview not too long ago with Ian Rapoport on that Pat McAfee show, and he was talking about how I hadn't heard this before, that you know this is the same knee that Odell hurt injured 2 years ago and had to have surgery on it. And Ian Rapoport said that basically after that first knee surgery he had was done – very poorly and had very bad results. So when they just went in the second time, most recently to fix it, I guess they believe that it's going to add years onto his career because they did so much of a better job than they did that first time. So take that with what you will. But
Dr. Rapsheet.
I don't think he's just going to come out with this without someone telling him that maybe the person didn't do a good job the first time. I don't know. I don't know who the surgeon was the first time.
I think that just talking to everybody around him, they think he's a hard worker and he's going to work back to get that knee right. Now, clearly, Britt and the doctor's going to look at that knee. But to me, it's the knee is the issue. Just from my sources talking to people, you know, I know the contenders are the Giants and the Buffalo, and he has a friendship with Von Miller. But he doesn't want to play in the cold. And why would you want to play on that turf in New York, which lost – you coming off two ACLs, which lost two receivers this year to ACL injuries?
So
if the money – I mean, the only thing that leans in those team favor is the money.
And that's the other question that
Daniel Jones.
We talked about – thank you. On the last show, what's the number, by the way? You're talking about a multi-year contract, and what's the number? I use Michael Gallup as a ceiling.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
That you're saying, okay, Michael Gallup, you're averaging $11.5 million. Odell Beckham Jr., if I'm him and his agent, I walk in there, Odell Beckham Jr. is a better player. Got a better resume. We want more money than
older,
that.
Older, though.
So – but I'm just saying, that's what I'm coming in with is a negotiation tax. So base of at least $12 million. So $12 to $15 million. What's your comfort level on a multi-year deal for that for Odell Beckham Jr.?
That's tough right now because I really would like to know what he does for the rest of the season. Oh, which, by the way, I thought was very interesting how much Jerry hammered home yesterday that they need him for this season.
Yep.
He's not interested in this deal for next year. It's about this year. So that factors in. But there is risk involved with what you're saying because you give that deal – he gets out there and he just isn't – he's okay, we'll say, but he's not at the level that you think. And then all of a sudden – I don't know. I'm not good at the whole background on the contracts and how it's all structured, but there has to be some type of protections put in there to kind of – to cover you in case he isn't that guy so that you're not giving him Michael Gallup money next year.
I feel like this is like a sandwich. Like you're right. Gallup, whatever, you know, $11 million coming off an injury. Here comes Beckham coming off an injury. Better player, more accomplished. He wants more than that. And then whatever that's going to be, then CD comes in and says, okay, well, whatever you give them, this is our floor here. Because now it's time for us to negotiate. Even though you said you'd wait 2 years, why don't we do it now? You know, because I've got the number one receiver. This is what his agent's got to say. I've got the number one receiver. So Beckham's going to like slide in, and then that just immediately starts the process for CD.
So now you see what in terms I have in terms of a pause.
Yeah.
When we start talking about the financials of this, there is my big concern. My concern is not him as a player. It is the financials of what this is. If this is a one-year deal, this is an easy thing to do. Hey, man, let's write the check. Come on. Yeah. Which one? Go ahead and write the check. But because he wants a multi-year deal, that's where I have the pause, Clarence Hill.
And you need him multi-year. Let's be honest. I mean,
what
if you win, you want to keep this thing going. And I love the we like our guys stuff, but I like guys that are productive and are proven. And, you know, run it back. You know, you run it back with Odell, you run it back with CD. It continues that window. We always talk about windows and everything else. So if he's – and I the thing is you have to trust that they're going to do the medical. They're going to look at it. They got great doctors.
And I'm
doctors.
Going to – I'm assuming that.
And once they do the medical – if they're not giving multi-year deal if the medical does not align with that. So I have no problem. I trust that medically, if they do all that, they're going to be comfortable with that.
And I'm fine to take the gamble because, like I said, it's the biggest position of need. If he was a top edge rusher coming back from knee injury, you kind of look at this roster like, do we really need this? But it could put us over the top, like a Von Miller type thing. But they need another receiver.
Okay.
And he is just clearly the best thing that they could potentially add to this roster.
Good conversation. There's a lot to think about in this, but I do believe from all indications that if Jerry Jones is the last guy in the room with the ability to talk to Odell Beckham Jr. about becoming a Dallas Cowboy, I find it very hard to believe that John Mara or the Pagulas are going to be able to, or even the Hunts will be able to do that.
I mean,
it's just me.
I agree. And the star and all of the stuff that he talked about on the radio yesterday matters. But there are teams that have outbid the Cowboys recently for whether you're talking about Amari Cooper, he got more money offered him by Washington.
Sammy Watkins, thank goodness.
Okay, look at the Von Miller deal. I mean, but I don't care what you think.
They didn't offer him.
They didn't. But I'm just saying, you look at, forget even the Cowboys in that. Look at the money that that Buffalo gave Von Miller. That just blew everybody out of the water. We were just like, well, of course he's going to go there. If there is a team that does that, you know, I mean, we don't know that that doesn't happen. But if there's a Buffalo or New York just offers this ridiculous amount, there will be a line that Jerry won't cross. It isn't going to be, hey, we're the last guy. What did they offer you? All right, we'll give you a little bit more than that. He's going to have his parameters too.
They have to.
All right, let's hit our break here. They do have to play the Colts, so we should talk about the Colts and fighting Jeff Saturdays and what they have left here coming off a short week. Clarence Hill, Nick Eatman, John Bishoda, I'm Nui Scruggs. This is the Media Mash on DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf, for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash on DallasCowboys.com Radio. Cowboy insiders offer their opinions on the club. Clarence Hill, Four Star Telegram, is doing the show, multitasking, banging out a story as well.
Got deadlines, sir.
What are you writing about?
Cowboys.
Oh,
man. Be a little bit more specific.
I will. I will be more specific. I am writing about the Cowboys have a chance to sweep this 3-game stretch and go into the Christmas Eve battle against the Eagles on a roll, running with 5 straight wins and 7 of the last 8 if they get out of their own way and not have these penalties and turnovers. This should be an easy stretch with the Colts, the Texans, and the Jaguars, but the Cowboys' biggest enemy is themselves with these penalties and untimely penalties and turnovers.
We talked about that all on the previous show, so thank you for listening. We called the AFC Classic, by the way.
The
AFC South Classic, by the way.
However you want to call it, but they need to. Yeah, they need to. And we talked to Dak about that today. You know, he talked about the things they're doing to focus better, to fix the penalty, calling each other out, doing different things like that. So, yeah.
Okay.
What if I told you though they could do that?
No, back to work. We're paying them to do this show. He can do it during the break.
I'm talking about it during the break.
I was telling him not back to work. We're going to
this is one of the rare opportunities you're going to get to talk. and Clay's not interrupting you. So I want you to take advantage of it.
I just wonder though, if what if they do continue the penalty thing and still win those games?
Well, that's what they did against the totally Giants. Possible. That's the crazy thing about the Giants game, which Mike McCarthy tried to point out, but it's really about how do you get better to the postseason. Because they had a season out 13 penalties. They had two interceptions. I mean, the Giants touchdown, I mean, they just gave it to them with penalties. This game should have been a blowout for you betting people that didn't cover the spread. You know, it's because the Cowboys out on penalties. I don't know who does that sort of thing.
No, let me ask him this real quick. Okay, we did this yesterday. Give me who are the top three guys in penalties in the Cowboys this year?
Well, it's definitely
Tyler Smith is number one.
Okay, but who's two and three? One's on offense, one's on defense.
Is it Hendershot?
It's Diggs. No. Diggs is up there, isn't he?
No, it's not.
Well, you got Go ahead.
It's not Terrence Steele.
No, oh, I would have said Steele for sure.
Number three, five penalties, Kelvin Joseph. I never would have thought that he was in the
drive-by?
Top.
Stop.
What are you doing?
The spotter. He's the spotter.
Is that what he is?
The spotter. The spotter.
I just wouldn't have expected. We mentioned Hendershot yesterday. I think he's in the mix, but
he's got like four. Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things where like not people. Yeah, second.
He got one, right?
He doesn't.
He had a holding penalty, and you know that's really going to mess up his stat. The Pro Bowl versus holding penalties in his career.
Right.
Can he get it rescinded?
Yeah. The one that is the most surprising, Clarence, I know you've been asking some of the players about it, but it is really the idea of how do you not commit any of these penalties in probably the loudest stadium you'll play in Minnesota. You come back home, and then you're having these pre-snap penalties. That's the ones that you can't even understand how that would happen.
All of Terrence Steele's, I think all of his pre-snap penalties have been at home. Remember he had four in that first game against the Bucks.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
Because you would think, like, okay, you're still going to commit some at home, but why aren't those doubling on the road when there is noise and you can't hear, and you know?
There's your story for tomorrow when you go in the locker room and check in with Steele. And just start asking,
there's a lot more. And, again, I don't know why this is, but there's a lot more pre-snap penalties with Dak as the quarterback than Cooper Rush. I don't know why.
Oh, I could see it. I could see possibly with him. He's definitely changing a lot of stuff at the line.
The ability to change plays.
Because first game, there was a lot. And we didn't see it for a few weeks, obviously.
Doesn't it seem like though these last two games, though, there has been a lot of Dak going up to the line? And I don't even know if it's necessary. It could be some of the Omaha Peyton Manning stuff where you don't know that necessarily everything's changing, but he's doing it a lot.
I'm fine with that because you know what else is happening is he's getting the pass rushers off his back and spinning out of here and running and making throws on the run, even running the ball a little bit more, being Dak again. So if that means being Dak, I'm fine with that.
See, the problem, I think that it's kind of happenstance that's happened more with Dak because I think I'm with Mike McCarthy. They're playing faster.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily they don't know Dak's voice. I mean, Dak's been their quarterback forever.
Right.
You know, they only had Cooper for 5 days. Well, they don't forgot Dak's voice. It's more about them playing faster. They're more excited. They like the CeeDee Lamb played at the goal line. I mean, how do you explain, you know, against the Giants when he got the false start? Yep. They're excited to get these plays going. They're playing faster. As Mike McCarthy said last night, we got more volume. And, you know, last week he said, you know, there's more volume of plays. They're doing more things at the line, which is caused not necessarily because Dak's voice is different than Cooper Rush's.
I don't know about the voice different.
Because they talked about the cadence. Yeah. And when you think cadence, you think about how he's calling the plays.
Yeah.
It's different. It's really not that. Now, we were talking to Dak today, and he was talking about the one Tyler had on against the Giants. And the call is something white. And he said what? Or something. He said something about the Giants' alignment. And Terrence jumped and took two steps. And so he misunderstood what he was saying.
So 10 days off, getting ready for the Colts. Cowboys came off a bye. Mike McCarthy had a really good record. They go to Green Bay. They lose. So how and what should we expect from this team Sunday night at Jerry World on NBC against the Colts? John Machado.
I think you should expect a well-rested team that – should be able to do anything that they want against a team that's coming in there on very short rest, that isn't very good, that's not playing with a lot of confidence.
Got a coach from the booth.
Right. You're playing a team that you probably only need to play your C-plus game to beat them. Of course, the players aren't talking about that. You know, Mike had an interesting quote. I thought his best quote today was when he talked about how people play the Cowboys differently. I remember I don't know if it was Micah or – yeah, I think it was Mike earlier in the year talking about how watching – a team that they played all week on tape, get out there on the field, team does nothing that they had been showing on tape at all. So there is a little bit of uncertainty. It's not a common opponent, whatnot. I keep going back to the whole Matt Ryan last year. There was a lot of talk, oh, this is Dan Quinn, going up against Matt Ryan, and it was just, they blew the Falcons out of the building. I just don't think that they have to play their best game to still win this or win this game, but of course the players aren't talking about that.
Yeah, for me, anytime you look at one team's weakness against another team's strength, that's going to be a problem. And I think the Colts lead the league in sacks allowed. Cowboys lead the league in sacks on the quarterback. And so, it's just not a good recipe where a team that's had, 10 days off, and then a team that's had 5 days off. I mean, they're coming off Monday night.
Again, the Cowboys had to get out of their own way. I mean, it's like the Cowboys had all that time off before the Packers game, right?
Yeah.
Right? Was it for the Packers game?
Yeah.
And the bye week, yeah.
And the Packers can't stop the run.
Yeah.
And we get the Cowboys didn't run the ball as much as they should. I mean, the Packers still ain't stopped the run. Everybody's running against the Packers. Yeah. I mean, it's like the Eagles just running against the Packers, but yet the Cowboys, like Jeff Saturday, keeping their timeouts in their pocket. Why are we keeping running plays in our pocket against a team that can't stop the run? So what I'm saying is that
I've always felt in those situations, especially recently when Dak's coming back on these injuries, I feel like they try and do things to get him back into a rhythm, get the offense back into a rhythm and playing with him. Because I expect them to try and start fast against the Colts like they did against the Giants. It didn't work out, and it ended up being there's turnovers, things like that. But I felt like they were trying to get him back in more of a rhythm, and he looks like he's in that rhythm. I don't see why you have to force that stuff now. I think if you got to run the ball 50 times, run the ball 50 times.
Right, and to me, it's also the flip side on the Colts. And the Colts know that they can't block the passer, and they can't block. But will they be stubborn with the run like the Packers, which I don't think Minnesota was stubborn enough against them with the run offensively. And sometimes you think, I need to do all these other things to offset them. So the only way, they have to run Jonathan Taylor, and the Cowboys have to stop Jonathan Taylor, and then don't make those mistakes. Because the Indy tight end is pretty good. You saw, he can make some plays, and the quarterbacks are making plays if you give him time, but you need to stop the run first.
For the Colts to win this game, the Cowboys would have to have uncharacteristic offensive turnovers. Zeke fumble, Pollard fumble, things that we were just like, what is going on here? Let's say Kevontae Turpin on a punt return fumble, something like that. They're going to have to turn the ball over. If they take care of the ball, they'll beat the Colts.
Yeah.
And they should beat the Colts, the Texans, and the Jaguars. If they take care of the ball and
why
don't.
Why are you trying to pole vault this season?
It's the AFC South Classic, baby.
What do you mean pole vault? He's looking
to Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
He's ready to look.
Who isn't? NBC's, everybody's talking about Christmas Eve. Who's not talking about Christmas Eve? The showdown with the Eagles.
Show.
But hold on. This seems kind of hypocritical, though. If they get out of their own way and don't make mental mistakes, but they can win three games in a row, but you can't beat the Texans next Sunday night. You can't beat the Jaguars either. You can only beat the Colts. I'm not trying to sound like a coach
or
whatever.
You sound like a coach.
Okay, but you're sounding like a hypocrite because you want them to focus and not get out of your own way, and so you can win three straight games.
I do want them to focus, but I can talk about the big picture. It's not my job. I don't have to compartmentalize and talk about we're going to be 1-0 this week.
Yep.
1-0. The goal is going 1-0. But I'm talking about the big picture from a media standpoint.
Yeah.
From our standpoint,
they don't need to play their best game to win these next three.
From the season standpoint, we have the benefit of looking at the big picture, understanding what each game means as it relates to the season coming up. It's not just about the Colts and the Texans more. It's about this team getting on a roll to make a Super Bowl run, possibly catch the Eagles in the NFC East. So I can look at all of that.
You can do that.
You can stack wins like you made.
Yeah, I can do all that.
Can't stack two at a time, though.
Yeah.
No, but I can't.
Okay. If you're coaching the team, you're not talking like that, obviously. But from our perspective, covering the team, I just look at it as this, like, yeah, I think that they can commit 13 penalties and still win these next three games. But the problem is that you don't want to keep doing that because 13 penalties, you're not beating the Eagles doing that.
That's what got you knocked out the playoffs last year.
Throwing interceptions right before halftime against the Eagles is not going to get it done.
Because at the end of the day, Nick, and I've been around here a long time.
You have.
Okay, you've been around here long enough.
I have.
To know that none of this matters if you go out and lose in the first round.
I know.
Okay.
So we can do one day at a time.
We can talk about the winter schedule and we're getting our bodies right and all the other stuff. They got their bodies right last year. They were healthy going into the playoffs last year. They laid a freaking egg.
They moved Mike McCarthy's press conference back a half hour because of the schedule. So how is your body feeling now?
My body's
extra
feeling
half
good.
Hour
I'm just saying, though, none of this matters. So
it really messes up my schedule.
Does it?
It messes up our podcast schedule.
And Nick.
Yes, Clarence.
We're always looking at the big picture.
I know. I mean,
it's our job. Can they win a freaking Super Bowl? That's the only thing that matters. You can say, yeah, they got to do his preseason. Go to the training camp. Can the Cowboys win the Super Bowl? Finally, after all these years, can they win the Super Bowl? Game one, yeah. Can they win the Super Bowl? But all of this, yeah. Can they? It's all about the Super Bowl,
I'm
Nick.
I'm different than you on when it comes to that. I'm just going to be different.
That's fine.
Because there's no successful
season in Dallas. It will not be a successful season if they get to the playoffs and lose in the first round.
He just had Super Bowl six times. What do you think about that?
I'm just saying that's what matters.
No, it does.
That's what matters
to
Jerry.
That's gasoline on fire with him.
So. They don't hang division title banners at AT&T Stadium.
And I was counting them for you.
They don't hang any banners at AT&T Stadium.
I just watched them.
Because they won nothing since they've been at AT&T Stadium.
You and I are different. We always have been, and I don't agree with that.
I don't
agree with that mentality. And I do a podcast every day with people that agree with you.
Why you don't think that the Super Bowl is the ultimate goal, and it should be
it's only
judgment here.
I'm not saying it's not the ultimate goal, but I don't do this in late November and December. I don't say, nice win, 40-3 win, but doesn't matter if you don't win. No, I live in the moment. I live in the moment because I've been doing this long enough. I'm not going to go, well, nothing matters except for the playoffs.
My point is, and when I look at it, it's like I look at my college team. When I look at – and I watch – and we're both into our college team.
Yeah.
So we watch blowouts, okay? Mm-hmm. We watch the end of the game because I want to see how it relates down the season. So I'm not saying it's all about the Super Bowl, but how they play, you're putting a picture together of whether this team can ultimately win it all. So all these things, yes, you do it week by week, but you're still building a picture. Like last year, going to the playoffs, 12-5 looked good. That picture was ugly.
Yeah.
I don't care if you had those blowout wins against the Eagles. That picture was ugly ever since that Denver game. There was no confidence that anybody had that this team could make it run, even though they were 12-5.
Well, they're beating bad teams. I wonder if you'd feel that same exact way if you were just a fan and you didn't have this job, because I feel like with this job, every week you're not just focused on the team. You got content. You got to do stuff for the website. You got to do the podcast. You know, like you can't look at, you have to focus on week to week more so than maybe, because I do think a lot of fans are where Clarence is, where it's just like, all right, cool. Let's get to the playoffs. Let's see if this team is better than that one last year that lost the 49ers. We know it's good. This team's going to win double-digit games back-to-back season, first time since 1996. But let's see what they can finally do in the playoffs.
And I get it, and there are a ton of fans that way. I just think you're missing the ride. You're just waiting to the end, and you're. I just don't.
But it's not our job to enjoy the ride. I guess what I'm saying is, it's from a journalist standpoint, it's not about enjoying the ride.
I'm enjoying the ride. Not,
you can. I mean,
it's not about
not?
The journey because it's not my journey.
Well, fans do it.
I'm dictating the journey. I'm chronicling the journey. But.
It's part of your journey. You're associated with the Dallas Cowboys. People know of you.
And I dictate
that
chronically, but it's not about me enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, you are.
I enjoy life.
Yeah. You're enjoying this season.
I love life. I'm a lifer. Okay. Keep on living.
Okay.
But I've been, like I said, I've seen a lot of unfulfilled expectations around you as I eloquently put out. I've been here since 97. Okay. I got to retire with the Troy Emmett and Michael, And as a reporter, not as a fan.
And I have too. And I have never seen an NFC Championship game. So you would think I could be that same way of being like, I don't care about any of that stuff. But I just feel like you're wasting. Me personally, I feel like you're just wasting the time and go, that was a good game. I'm not worried about what 40-3 or 28-20 against the Giants means necessarily. I mean. And you're right. It could be because of content.
Yep.
I got to put out seven things of content this day and seven things tomorrow.
Yeah. Right.
So if everything is like, well, nothing matters except for the playoffs.
Well,
then
nothing matters, but 40-3, it matters. You have to look at 40-3. We all looked at 40-3 against that team with that record who had just beaten Buffalo, who 2 weeks ago, we thought Buffalo was the best team in the league. You have to look at that 40-3 and say, ooh.
This team can do it. Super Bowl.
So we're looking at. Guys. So you're doing the same thing.
All right, guys. This has been fun. Thank you very much.
All right.
We need to get a break. When we come back, I want to discuss number 77. When do we expect to see him? And do you insert him in the starting lineup? Let's do that with Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Coach Nick Eatman of the Dallas Cowboys, DallasCowboys.com. We love you, Nick. And John Machado, the Athletic. I'm new.
I'm not wrong.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf. For winning. the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgAndTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to Media Mash.
Media Mash right here on DallasCowboys.com radio. As always, fun, interesting discussions from Cowboy Insiders. John Machota of The Athletic. We got Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. All right, John, hit us with the practice report here.
Yeah, so Trayvon Diggs, Michael Gallup, both did not practice today because of illness. And as you might remember, there were several players that did not practice and several that did not play in the game last week because of illness as well, some type of flu bug or whatever that has been going around. Some players that were able to still play despite battling some of this. So that was probably the two most noteworthy things. But to me, it's a pretty short injury list, only five names on it. Anthony Barr with the hamstring was limited. Jayron Kearse with the shoulder was limited. And then DeMarcus Lawrence, foot limited, which is something that will be probably the case for the rest of the season. But to me, I'd also point out that there is no Micah Parsons on the injury report, which is notable because, you know, last week he had the foot slash knee, and he also had been dealing with a shoulder. So to not have him on here at all, a little surprising. Oh, yeah, and Zeke, yeah, there you go.
There's Zeke not on there.
Zeke talking today about how he thinks that he could potentially get to a point where he doesn't have to wear the knee brace this season, which I don't think that was the expectation when he suffered that knee injury. So it's pretty short, but I think also because of the fact that they didn't play over the weekend, they got some extra rest, probably helped them. Jayron Kearse is obviously good news because, we were sitting next to each other during the game. We kind of didn't know what was going on with him at all. We couldn't find him. And all of a sudden he's on the bench and there's like four or five equipment members trying to put on a harness on his shoulder. I think it actually might have separated, but he went back in the game. I mean, he played through it. So, and he was limited today. So apparently he's going to be able to play. That's nothing that's going to keep him out. So,
Tyron Smith, let's dive into this. Number 77. See him out there on the bands with Britt Brown. He is getting closer to playing. Mike McCarthy addressed it. So, guys, when do we expect to see 77 back on the football field? And is 77 a starter? Barry Church says he should be a swing tackle if he starts. I'm assuming we put Tyler Smith, the rookie, who's been starting at left tackle, at left guard. So I'll start with you, Clarence. Where do we go with this?
I mean, it's a good problem to have. I mean, I think that when he comes back, he's going to start. He should start at left tackle, and you move Tyler Smith to left guard. Tyler Smith to left guard. Those T. Smith boys.
The rookie.
The rookie. As I look at the playoffs.
Go ahead.
And a potential matchup with the Eagles and that defensive line, which has gotten better, and the 49ers with that scary defensive front, you know, you want your best guys out there. That you want that to be your strength. You need your big behemoths, your muscle guys, whoever your strongest lineman out there, your strongest guys out there. You know, it's so funny to me because, you know, we've been around here a long time, and the continuity and the chemistry and the offensive line is so important. You really don't want to move guys and change it from this position to that position because it's going to mess up the continuity and the chemistry, and they're like a group. They're dancing. They got to be together and all this other stuff.
Is he dancing?
I'm just saying. The stuff we've heard from coaches,
I gotcha.
Why they can't move Zach Martin to tackle when he's your best player, okay, all of this other stuff. I love the fact that we're trying to win. We're putting our best guys out there. I don't care if they practice one day or 2 days or 2 weeks. It's time. It's playoff time. It's just like at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I don't care. Tyler Smith, he's our left tackle. I don't care who's been out there. Put your best guys out there. And that's what they're doing.
I like the idea of him returning next week to practice and then playing the following week against the Jags. So then he's back as close as possible for that Eagles game to be in the start. But, yeah, I just feel like anytime I've heard Jerry or Steven talk about this in the last few weeks, it's been, yeah, he's one of our best five. Yeah, he's going to be out there. Mike McCarthy hasn't been on that same, I guess, playing with them, but they've made it very clear they view, hey, this is Tyron Smith. Yeah, when he's back out there, and it just makes sense. You moved him to left tackle or back at left tackle, and Tyler Smith into left guard.
But I think Matt McCarthy has been on that. He's talked to us about that. That's the plan.
And yeah, I guess he hasn't been as. Well, like Jerry and Steven have just made
because,
it pretty clear.
Because he's never going to just go out and tell us our plan, the plan to start. But I remember back in 2020, we talked about the Zach Martin thing, and then he talked about the moving two guys. This year, you know, we got him in the walk-off. I've asked him pointedly about that, and he said, yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah.
And he said that was the plan on – because I think Tyron Smith at left tackle, that's got to be the plan. He's earned it. I think he's the better player. And I think Tyler Smith has been – really good for a rookie that did not play all offseason there. He still committed some penalties. He still has some issues, and he didn't have a great game, I didn't think, last week. But he did not beat out Connor McGovern at left guard. And maybe he was going to, but he did not.
Well, I
okay, I'm just saying he has not. So is he the better left guard than Connor McGovern?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
I do think that was more about coach speak and them trying to – bring him along and not give it to him. I think that
it went on for a while, though.
It did go on for a long time. I think it's, but the problem here is that I think that when you're using Tyler Guard at center, Connor McGovern at center, and when you're getting game with Connor McGovern at fullback, you're telling me what your plans are down the road. They had not made the official move, but before the start of the season, you were going to see him at starting with Tyron Smith. They just hadn't done it yet. But those last couple of weeks of training camp, the fact that, he hadn't passed him yet, but yet you're using your starter, and we talked about how important, because it's not like Connor McGovern had been a long-term starter. He needs as many reps as possible as well. The fact that you're using your starter at center in games, at fullback in practice, and doing other things with him, getting prepared for other jobs he can do, that tells me everything I need to know.
If Tyler Smith can handle it, because, I mean, everyone says it moves faster in there, and so if there's going to be more penalty, if he can handle it, I think you got a better situation. You got a stronger left guard. You got a versatile fullback now. McGovern can do some different things, and then, of course, you've got Tyron Smith. I'm all for it. I'm just saying they have never shown that Tyler Smith is the better left guard just yet by putting him there. Because I feel like they went way deep into training camp in the season and hadn't done it yet. And if it had not been for an injury of Tyron Smith, who knows if they would have done it.
I just feel like you have to have Tyler Smith out there because he's your future. I don't think that you're going to bench a guy like that. He's just too important for you going forward. So you'll take the good with the bad. And, yeah, no one's saying that he's going to be a great left guard. If he is, then that's great. But if not, I don't think he's going to be any worse than he's been at left tackle. And left tackle, I think he's exceeded expectations. And ultimately, you're doing this because you're getting Tyron Smith back, and that's the most important thing.
But if they lose in the playoffs, if they lose the first-round game in the playoffs, is Mike McCarthy definitely the head coach? Like, losing the first round. Great season, they lost in the first round.
I think he still is, but I wouldn't say definitely.
Well, my point to that is that if he is not better than Connor McGovern, why does McCarthy care about Tyler Smith's future if he's not worried about his own?
But but
it's got to be way better.
But my point is this. I don't think the decision to play him and move him to guard is about his future. It's about now. Everything they're doing, when they make this move, it's about now. And they believe if they do this, and that's the plan, because they've been working this plan, they're spending time in practice doing this plan. They believe he is better now and has a better upside for this team with him there. They wouldn't be doing it if they didn't. They believe that.
Okay.
So you have to trust what they believe.
And they've hit right on these buttons before. All I'm saying is that they didn't do it yet.
I know they didn't do it yet. Because they didn't do it at the training camp because they didn't have to do it. They didn't have to do it at that point. They only do it when they need to do it. Just like, you know, just like left tackle when Tyron Smith got hurt. When, you know, they didn't put Josh Ball or Matt, all those guys, but they moved the guy that they who had been playing guard, had took no reps in training, at tackling training, none, and moved him right there.
Gentlemen, I appreciate the conversation. It was a lot of fun. We're out of time. With Clarence Hill, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Nick Eatman of DallasCowboys.com radio, and you can also check us work on DallasCowboys.com. You got John Machota of The Athletic. I'm Nui Scruggs. Follow me on Twitter, at Nui Scruggs. And I feel like we solved nothing today, and that's great.
Clarence and I hogged the ball. Like, we just shot every time.
I was watching an old Southwest Conference rivalry between the Hogs and the Horns, and I enjoyed it. There was just times I just sat back and just kind of laughed. It was good. I was entertained. I appreciate it.
Who won, Arkansas or Texas?
Whoever Richard Nixon said won. All right, we'll do it tomorrow right here at 3 p.m.
Hook 'em horns! Hook 'em horns!
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?